This is The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to The Beat. I am your hostess, Oshie, and with me I have...
Sheriff Graziano.
Hello and welcome back.
Thank you.
It's a little crisp this morning in the sheriff's office, so I had to borrow a jacket. But I think it looks good on me, so I might keep it. So things are a little interesting. As of recently, we had some not so fun things happen. I noticed we have the flag at half mast this morning. Did you want to touch on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about it. I think everyone's probably aware that, you know, last week we had a pretty substantial search for an individual who had shot some people, or shot at some people, hit somebody, an innocent victim, driving down the road, and then through that search, one of our deputies was struck that was trying to apprehend him. At the end of the conclusion of that scenario and that played out, we ended up, SLED lost one of their canines, mm-hmm. Rico, so it was a very sad day.
So unfortunately, officer-involved shootings are not, they're not common, but they're also not uncommon.
It has become a violent, unfortunate, violent trend across the country. I think in my 36, 37 years, I hadn't been involved in probably maybe two in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the last, since 2021, we've had four here locally, mm-hmm. in Charleston County, officer-involved shootings. Three of those resulted in the death of the assailant, and one of them resulted in the arrest of the assailant, who was also struck by gunfire. And SWAT team members were able to save him, get him to the hospital, so he is in jail, mm-hmm. currently.
So is there a trend and there's an increase in crimes, or is it more an increase in the severity of the crimes that we're seeing?
So it's not the increase in crimes, because we're not seeing an increase in criminal activity, mm-hmm. according to our FBI stats, but we're seeing an increase into the volatility of the crime, the level of violence in these crimes, most of which are involving, all of which really are involving guns.
So we had how many, let's see, we've had six in the past 3 years.
Right.
I think there was none in 2021?
22. So
22 was
22,
none.
We didn't have any officer-involved shootings. We didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it didn't happen in the state, but they didn't happen in Charleston County. In 20, we had two. And then 21 and 23, we had two each year. Mm-hmm. So it, six in the last 3 years is just an absurd amount. It's, you know, most officers can go through their careers, 25 to 30 year career, without ever having to pull a weapon, let alone fire it in defense of their life or somebody else's. So it's just been an increase in the level of violence towards officers who are faced with unknown threats every day and have to make that split second decision. So when we had an awe and awe involved mental health, mm-hmm. Officers were going to serve a warrant on a subject, and as they were approaching the house, there was no knock on the door. The suspect fired off rounds, mm-hmm. struck a couple of our vehicles, went into a standoff, and as officers were surrounding the residence, the suspect fired off rounds from inside the house, mm-hmm. different areas inside the house, struck one of our officers in the arm, and eventually he went to attempt to shoot at the officers in the back, and he was struck.
Mm-hmm.
And after he was struck, SWAT team members moved in pretty quickly, secured him, the weapon, and got him into an ambulance where he went to the hospital, and he did survive that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I mean, worst case scenario is pulling your weapon, I imagine, and having to use it, but I don't want to say it's comforting, but it's good to know that you're still trying to make sure that you apprehend this suspect, you take them in alive, you make sure they're treated, but they still have to face the justice and the justice system. It's not all willy-nilly out there. I feel like that seems to be,
yeah.
the idea people have. Like, if we pull it out, there's a reason for it. It's never just a show of authority. It's, there's so much that goes into it.
When you have these incidents, especially this one in particular that happened in Allendale, where a gentleman was in his home and just was not going to be have a conversation with law enforcement, that is one where he was contained. They're not always contained. You know, usually, generally, and the one from this past week and a couple others that we've had, they didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a call. The one that happened in West Ashley in 21 was, they received a call that somebody was outside just randomly firing their weapon, mm-hmm. holding his girlfriend at the time. The call came in holding her hostage, which means against her will. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was actually the situation, but it was a situation where drugs were involved, mental health was involved. And so there was a pretty extensive gun battle, not with us and him, but mm-hmm. him and the community. And, you know, we descended on the area with the city police pretty quickly and contained it to the best of our ability. But when they're using weapons that have a long range, it's very, very difficult, and it's extremely dangerous, especially with our officers who are not always armed immediately with long range rifles. Mm-hmm. They are only armed with handguns, which are limited in their capacity and distance. So the one in West Ashley in September, luckily some patrol members who had access to patrol rifles were able to distance himself enough to be safe, get everyone in their homes, and then they were they got into a gun battle with this guy and ended up shooting and killing him in his front yard, mm-hmm. as he was shooting at officers. So it's not and the same thing this weekend. You know, we had an assailant who's armed with a long rifle, mm-hmm. a hunting rifle essentially, that's meant to kill things at long distance, and we don't shoot our targets unless we can acquire those targets. Well, it's dark and they're in the woods. It's very difficult for you to acquire a target, mm-hmm. and stop that threat. And that's what we faced this weekend. And that is why, you know, we asked schools to be canceled and we asked people to stay out of the area and really cordoned off that area, because it's a matter of safety, mm-hmm. for the community. When we don't know exactly where the threat is, and even if we even had an idea, which we did, we want to make sure folks that are within that range of that rifle, mm-hmm. are safe. And so that's the challenge. We need to be within that range, mm-hmm. right? So we have to put ourselves in harm's way in order to keep them contained. But the challenge then is getting folks to cooperate and get them out while we continue to contain it and figure out a way to go, you know, stop that threat. This in particular was a shooting, mm-hmm. you know, somebody shooting randomly at people. An innocent person gets hit. Mm-hmm. We have to determine where that threat is coming from, who it is, and we did know pretty quickly who it was and where that threat was coming from. Mm-hmm. And then we're trying to create a safe zone for folks, not just our officers, but also especially the community. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a priority. So when you're in an area like John's Island and Marion Point Road, the houses are spread out. Mm-hmm. Not all the addresses are together, and so you literally have to go house to house to clear areas to make sure folks aren't in harm's way. Mm-hmm. And that includes putting yourself in an area that's a hot zone. I mean, especially in the hot zone. Mm-hmm. So you're traversing this area and you have armor protection, but rifle rounds penetrate armor. And during this particular event, our Bearcat armored vehicle was struck 6 times. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for that Bearcat, we could have 6, you know, officers that would have been struck. We have to use what's available to us to get people safely in and out. And they used the Bearcat to get other officers out of the area, the hot zone, once the shooting started again from the woods.
I know, obviously, safety is always going to come first, not only for, you know, your normal people, your day-to-day civilians, but also for our deputies out there. I think you guys, given the situation, did the best that you could to make sure that we got everybody squared away. And I understand that we had one of our deputies who was struck. Do we know he's doing all right?
Deputy Gilbreth is doing fine. I spoke to him yesterday, and
okay,
he's sore, and he's you know, got some challenges mm-hmm. ahead of him, but he is determined, you know, as good guardians are. He's very determined to make a comeback and be back at work and be with his team. And it's going to take some time. Mm-hmm. We lost Rico, mm-hmm. one of the sled canines, who did probably saved lives on that day.
Absolutely.
And if it wasn't for him, a lot of folks say, you know, don't these dogs have bulletproof vests? Yes, they do. Again, rifle rounds can penetrate body armor. Deputy Gilbert was hit in the head, so he didn't have body armor mm-hmm. on his head. Yeah, there are so many challenges and so many dangers that they face mm-hmm. day in and day out. And I know that the public has been outpouring support for Deputy Gilworth and also Rico. And I know there's some planned fundraisers mm-hmm. here in Charleston that we're working on to help our friends at SLED mm-hmm. who put their lives on the line, you know, to take this threat out of the community. So we'll keep you posted on that. Right now, the flag's at half mast mm-hmm. For not only Rico, but a deputy that was killed in Richland, Deputy Salrin up in Richland County, in the car crash that happened a couple days ago. So it's been a tough week for law enforcement, but again, we are a resilient profession, and we will come back stronger than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time and coming in and discussing that today. I know that in the future we'll probably discuss a little bit more in depth on the uptick in more violent crimes. But for now, you know, our thoughts and our prayers and our support is going out towards Gilbreth, to SLED for their loss of Rico, and to the families that were involved. I know that's got to be very hard to move forward after that kind of ordeal, when you have to leave the safety of your home for your own safety.
You know, I cannot thank this community enough for being so patient mm-hmm. and listening to us when we said there was a threat and a danger, to please, you know, remove yourself from that danger, allow us to do our job so that we can keep people safe, and mm-hmm. not one single complaint about that. And I think people are appreciative. They understand the volatility of that scene. They understand the dangers that were faced by anybody in that area, especially in that hot zone. That was not a question. We were closing that off regardless, but they didn't complain. They worked with us. You know, we did our best to accommodate folks when they needed to get certain places. And I can't thank this community enough for doing that and really allowing us to do our job and do it well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please let us know. We know this is a troublesome time after something like this happens, but we do appreciate your support and look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again, Sheriff Graziano.
Thank you, Ush.
And happy Monday.
This has been The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford. Look for future episodes by following the Charleston County Sheriff's Office on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.